ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we're going to go through Surah Hud alayhi salam, verses 100 through 105, inshallah, or 104, I believe, yes. Maybe we have three or four more weeks to conclude this chapter, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذلك من أنباء القرى نقصه عليك. نقصه عليك منها قائم وحصيد. وما ظلمناهم ولكن ظلموا أنفسهم فما أغنت عنهم آلهتهم التي يدعون من دون الله من شيء لما جاء أمر ربك وما زادوهم غير تتبيب. وكذلك أخذ ربك إذا أخذ القرى وهي ظالمة إن أخذه أليم شديد. إن أخذه أليم شديد إن في ذلك لآية لمن خاف عذاب الآخرة. ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود. وما نؤخره إلا لأجل معدود. يوم يأتي لا تكلم نفس إلا بإذنه فمنهم شقي وسعيد. صدق الله العلي العظيم. It's a long sequence of narrations in this chapter in Surah Hud about the struggle of the prophets with their communities and how their communities they kept rejecting them. I think we did about 7 prophets and messengers so far. It's a long struggle. It's very frustrating. If a mother has 2 children and those 2 children do not listen to her, she intends every goodness, every success, every prosperity for her children, and yet they don't listen. They reject. Not just they reject. They make fun of her. They call her names. They call her, you are crazy, majnoon, insane, being touched, obsessed, backward, and other names. Imagine how frustrated that mother is going to be. She loses every hope in this life. She becomes very sad. Nothing in this life worse than having your children rejecting you. Nothing. Even if you lose your business, your money, your house, even if you lose your health, you won't be frustrated, you won't be angry, you won't be sad like the way if your children and your family, the closest people to you, they reject you. Now you can imagine the frustration of the Anbiya. Because the entire community, not just two children, they work very hard, they work with dedication, with ikhlas, with sincerity, they give their, not just their time, their health, their life. And yet, after 30, 40 years, people reject them. People say, you are liars. You are insane. Leave us alone. If it wasn't for some family with you, we would have stoned you. وَلَوْلَا رَحْتُكَ لَرَجَمْنَاكَ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْنَا بِعَزِيزٍ. We don't even respect you. You have no value. For 40 years he serves the community, then he has no value. It's very frustrating. But those prophets are patient, and God knows who to choose for this task. Yes, once in a while they break down. Once in a while. وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. Yunus عليه السلام. Jonah. He broke down after so many years, nobody believed in him. Only two people. Imagine. Allah says, we sent him to the city of Nineveh, today's Mosul, which was captured by ISIS and then, alhamdulillah, was liberated. Mosul in northern Iraq. God sent him to that city, and the population of that city was about 100,000 or more. وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. That was the population of that city at that time. Out of 100,000 people, only two believed in him, just two accepted him. One of them was alim. He was a scholar. He knew what he... The other one, he accepted him because he felt sorry for him, not because he understood his message. He felt bad, you know. Nobody's, you know. One day, I was in a fundraiser in one of these states. So the imam was raising money for his mosque. Nobody responded. A man in the audience, he raised his hand, he said $10,000. I knew the man, he doesn't have $10,000. But he gave commitment. So after the session, I said to him, what happened? He said, I'm not going to give the money. I just wanted the imam to feel good about this. Because I felt sorry for the imam. He's calling on people to help. Nobody's listening. So I said, let me make him happy. I raised my hand. I said $10,000 just to make the imam happy. So this second guy who believed in Jonah, not because he believed in his message, he felt sorry for him. Sorry for him. So those prophets, God will bestow patience on them. Otherwise, they really go crazy. When they work with community, with their communities for so many decades, and those communities, none of them believe in them, or few. About Nuh, Allah says, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. قَلِيلٌ, few. Out of this, a huge community, he worked day and night. Day and night, without rest. Nobody can work day and night. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. I'm working day and night, with no break. فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. My invitation increased them nothing but fleeing. Fleeing. Fleeing away from me. But God gives patience. And those prophets, when they get on board, when they sign in for this task, they know what they are up to. They know that this is a difficult road, difficult journey. People are not going to believe easily. So Allah says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْقُرَىٰ. So far the stories that I have given you, these are the stories, are among the stories we have recounted. نقصه عليك. Why does God tell the prophet stories of 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago? Why? To tell him, Ya Muhammad, you are not alone here. See what happened to those who were before you. So history is repeating itself. You are not alone. In your suffering, you are not alone. Many people suffered before you. Many prophets. To support him. It's a solidarity with the prophet. So the prophet knows that many messengers came before him and they suffered the same. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْقُرَىٰ نَقُصُّهُ عَلَيْكَ. We recount unto you. مِنْهَا قَائِمٌ وَحَصِيدٌ. Some of these villages, قُرَىٰ in the Quran, today قَرْيَة is a village. But yesterday it was not a village. It could be a civilization. God refers to certain civilizations as villages, including Mecca. Mecca, Ummul Qura, the mother of the villages. God says some of them remain, still they are there. You can travel to their land and see, you know, traces of their existence. Some of them, وحصيد, منها قائم وحصيد, they were mowed down. حصيد, حصاد in Arabic is the harvest. They were mowed down. They do not exist. They were cut down completely. You go to their territories, you saw no trace of them. Not a single trace. Not a single rock. Not a single tree. Not a single house. They were wiped out. Minha qa'im, some of them, you can see the ruins. I've been to Salih. It's off limit. The Saudi government, they don't allow. But about 15 years ago, I was able to sneak in into that territory where Salih used to live. Salih, alayhi salam, in the northern Arabia, close to the border with Jordan, near Tabuk. You can see their homes. They still exist. Still exist, the homes that they built into the mountain. They craved into the mountain. Still they exist. Minha qa'imun, God says, we keep some of them as an example, as a proof. As a lesson, ibrah, for people to come and watch and see and learn a lesson. منها قائم وحصيد. Now, some of our young generation say, why the Quran speaks about destruction? Where is love? Where is mercy? God should always say in this book, I love you, just like the Christians when they knock at your door. The first thing they say, Jesus loves you. So where is love? God is speaking about punishment. We don't like to hear about punishment. Where is His forgiveness? We always say, Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, most merciful, most compassionate. But now He speaks about punishment. This verse 101 answers this question. God says what happened to them, it's not because I intended to destroy them, but because they intended to receive the destruction. It's like a student who goes to class, to school. Some of them, they work hard. They know that they have to pass with honor. They have to get A+. Some of them are careless. So do you blame the teacher? Do you blame the school? Do you blame the government? Sometimes the government. But no, not all the times, because sometimes some of those students, they go to good schools, they have good teachers. Not all the schools are bad. Some of them are good. Some of the teachers are hard-working people. But the students, they don't want to study. They don't want to study. They don't believe in education. One of them was telling me the other day, Imam, you know, we study 12 years at school, then 4 years at college, then whatever, a total of 16, 17. And then you graduate and you have hard time finding job. You have hard time finding a job. Even if you find a job, you are underpaid. I can do drugs, sell drugs. In one day, I can make $1 million. So please don't tell me go to school. This is how he looks at life. He doesn't believe in the value of education. He believes that life is about making money. We go to school to make money. We don't go to school to make money. We go to school to make life, to make dignity. to help, to learn, to discover, to elevate yourself, not to be ignorant. This is why we go to school. Yes, part of it is to get a job, but it's not all about jobs and money. So some of them, they don't study. God says in 101, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ. See? وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ. We wronged them not. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ. وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Indeed, they wronged themselves. They chose the path of damnation. Because all the Anbiya that we studied so far, about seven stories, they had a beautiful life. Many of them, they had lush terrains, green, fertile. They had fruits, they had food, they had good income. But like the people of Shu'aib, they would not rest unless they commit fraud. They cheat in their business. They don't have to cheat. There a prophet said to them, why do you cheat? You have money. The money is flowing. You are not in need of money. The money is coming to you. Why do you have to cheat in your business? It's a habit. It's a sickness. It's a sickness. Some people don't know how to do things through the good ways. They approach things only through bad ways, evil ways. So it's a sickness. And this is a choice. The choice that they made. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They themselves wronged themselves because of their continuous iniquities, injustice, corruption. These things, they left themselves liable for punishment. Liable for punishment. They have been given fair warning by their prophets, times after times. You know, God does not exact revenge on anyone. Neither God would punish from the first mistake, nor from the second, nor from the third, nor from the tenth, nor from the 50th. God is so patient. But when people keep violating, disrespecting God, not listening, not heeding the call, at the end of the journey, God says, now you deserve the punishment. Otherwise, God is Ghafoor al-Rahim. Once we do something wrong, God would not immediately punish the same night. Many murderers are murderers at large. They kill, they destroy. God does not punish them immediately. God waits to give them a chance to go back to God. Because His policy is not about killing, eliminating, destroying. His policy is about forgiveness, forgiving, bestowing His mercy. فَمَا أَغْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ. They willingly failed to heed the call by choice. You know, in Islam and in Christianity, there are two traditions, philosophical traditions. Madhhab al-Mujabbira, it's the school of coercion. It's found in Islam. In Islam, it's led by Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari. In Christianity also, it's led by John Calvin, the German Christian reformer, about 500 years ago. He believes also in coercion. He believes, Calvinism believes, this is a Protestant tradition, Christian tradition, believes that God from day one created some people to send them to heaven. Those people would be good, they'll do good, they live rich, they enjoy their life, they don't suffer anything. And on the other hand, he created people who decided that they must go to Jahannam. They must receive damnation. So they always have bad luck. They live in poverty. They don't have normal life. They are always unhappy. They are always misfortunate. This is what he believes in. Calvinism. Same school does exist in Islam. Mujabbira. Mujabbira, they don't believe in the free choice. Versus the people who believe in the free choice. We believe in the free choice. We believe that God is just. He showed me the way. He gave me the roadmap. These are roadmaps. These are GPS. This one is GPS, Islamic GPS. In the church, they have a Christian GPS. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the Book of Ibrahim, the Psalms of David, the Holy Quran, these are GPSs. We need them. We need them to find our ways in this life. Some people, they throw them away. They get lost. When you go to an uncharted terrain, you are not familiar with that terrain and you don't use GPS, you are going to get lost. Especially not America. America's, you know, streets are very straight, you know, north, south, east, west. But go to London, you think you are going north, you find yourself in Brighton, at the Atlantic, you know, down there. Because the streets are, you know, zigzagging. So you need a GPS. You can't throw the GPS away. You would not reach your destination. Same thing. Allah says if you don't use this, you are not going to reach your destination. You are going to live in turmoil. You are not going to be happy in this life. فَمَا أَغْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ آلِهَتُهُمْ Their aliha, their lords that they thought that they're going to, the idols that they worshipped, the deities that they worshipped, did not avail them from the punishment. I'll give this example to the young generation. I tell them, imagine a person is driving his own vehicle and going towards a cliff, knowing that there is a cliff here. The road ends, there is a sharp cliff. And after the cliff, beyond the cliff is what? Is a valley, or let's say the ocean. But he still drives fast, doesn't stop. And then he falls off the cliff. Do you blame the cliff? Would people come here and say the cliff is bad, the cliff is evil, because he killed this man? Or do you blame the car? Do you say this car is evil car? Or do you blame the DMV? Or the government? Who do you blame? You blame the person himself. The person in you that this road is dangerous. It's going to lead into abyss, into a cliff. And he didn't care. Some people don't care. They don't care. This is exactly. God says, I don't wrong people. I intend every... It's like a mother who intends every goodness, every success for her children. God is even more compassionate to us than our own mothers. God does not want anyone to go to the hellfire. He doesn't want to. But then sometimes we insist on that. We tell him, God, please, please don't interfere in my life. Don't tell me what to do. This is exactly the sentence that many of our children say to their parents. Don't tell me what to do. Leave me alone. We say this to God too. فَمَا أَغْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ آلِهَتُهُمُ الَّتِي يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ Those deities that they followed did not help them. لَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ When the command of God comes, nothing can intercept, nothing can stand in the way of your Lord's commands. وَمَا زَادُوهُمْ غَيْرَ تَتْبِيبٍ In fact, these deities that they worshipped other than God increased them not but ruin. تَتْبِيب means ruin. Not only they did not help them, but they increase them in deviation and damnation. وَمَا زَادُوهُمْ غَيْرَ تَتْبِيبٍ In another verse in the same chapter, verse 117, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ Your Lord would never destroy the towns, the communities, the families unjustly while they are doing good. Never. This is against his policy. God says very simple, I would never punish or hurt or harm or even threaten someone who's doing good in this life. He doesn't do that. God is teaching us. He says when some people do good, You have to encourage them. You have to thank them. You have to appreciate them. He says to me, أَلَّمْ يَشْكُرُ الْمَخْلُوقُ لَمْ يَشْكُرُ الْخَالِقُ. If someone is doing good, go to him, say, MashaAllah, BarakAllah. God bless you. You are doing well. Encourage him. So he doesn't punish anyone if that person is doing well. And sometimes some people come to me, they are inflicted with sickness, with failure, maybe with, you know, whatever in this life happens to the, to them, to their children. They say, is this a punishment from God? I tell them, listen, you can answer this question, not me. Did you do something wrong? Did you violate God's rules or not? If you did not do anything wrong, then this is not a punishment. This is a test. Not every affliction, every misfortune is interpreted as a punishment. People are different. Otherwise, Anbiya were afflicted with misfortune. Some of them lost their health. Some of them lost their families, their children. Ayyub alayhi salam, Job. He lost everything. He lost his health, his sons, his daughters, everything. Is that a punishment? Not a punishment. It's a test. Job, Ayyub. Ayyub is Job. Yeah. Yaqub also, he, you know, his son was away for 40 years. So it does not mean everything that, every evil thing that happens, it means this is a punishment from God. No, it's not a punishment. Sometimes God says, I want to shake you, to test you, to shake you, to raise your level. To give you more credit in this life. More credit. So we can answer this question. Is this punishment? I don't know. I can tell about myself. When I do something wrong, I expect a punishment. Maybe not the same day, maybe not the same week, maybe 3 months later. Maybe 3 years later. Of course, Allah says, I am Ghafoorun Rahim. If you come to me, if you try to erase this, come back to me immediately. I will embrace you. Don't wait for the punishment to happen. Go back to Allah. لَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ وَمَا زَادُوهُمْ غَيْرَ تَتْبِيبٍ وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ. Wow, this is powerful. This is powerful. 102. وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. Such is the seizing. This is a warning for the arrogance. Today, someone was telling me that some of those tyrants, presidents, sultans, kings, tyrants, they kill, they murder, they bomb, they, you know, destroy. And then he comes up, he's healthy, he's eating, he's enjoying, he's smiling. Where is justice? God says, I give a chance. I don't destroy the same day. And sometimes I want those tyrants to do even worse. So when I take them without mercy. Nobody would say, oh God, you should have given him one more day. I don't. This is exactly what Lady Zainab said to Yazid ibn Muawiyah in his palace. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Yazid, do not think you are victorious. I'm standing here with my kids in front of you. You murdered my brother. You murdered my family. You are victorious and God loves you. No, no, no. This is not a sign of love. This is a sign that God is enabling you to do worse. So when he destroys you, he's going to destroy you with no mercy. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Such is the seizing of your Lord when he seizes the towns while they are doing wrong. وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ. God would never destroy a neighborhood if they are doing good. Only when they do bad, when they do wrong. ظَالِمَةٌ, especially ظُلْم. ظُلْم. ظُلْم is injustice, is abuse. Sometimes kufr, disbelief in God, God says, the kafir, I will delay his punishment until the day of judgment. But dhulm, God says, no, I have zero tolerance for dhulm, for aggression. I have zero tolerance. Inna akhdahu aleemun shadeed. Indeed, surely, his seizing is painful and severe. My friends, I swear by Allah, I can see as if I can see you now. I can see the future of those who destroyed Yemen and they are bombing Yemen. I can see what will happen to those who destroyed Syria and Iraq and other countries with their money, with their arms. Wallahi, I can see. Because this is a promise made by God. I can see today very clearly, as I see you, I can see the fate of Al Saud soon. I can see that. Today I wept when I was reading the New York Times. They say now there are 8 million people starving right now. This number is going to double soon. Becomes 16 million people starving in Yemen. And the United Nations is going to declare that country as a famine-stricken. Famine. Can you imagine? People are dying, small children are dying, before the eyes of their mothers and fathers. There is an article today. God is not going to remain silent. Let me tell you something about Iraq, about Saddam Hussein. 1 year before the toppling of Saddam Hussein, one of the ulama in Najaf, he said, I want to visit Imam Hussein in Karbala during the Arafah. Arafah should be crowded. There were only 5 people in the shrine. Only 5 people, can you imagine? People feared to come to visit. So I said to myself, the man says, I said to myself, would a day come that again this shrine is going to be filled with Zuwar? Would that day come in the history? Imagine 1 year later, Saddam was destroyed, an American soldier puts his boot on his face, at the face of Saddam Hussein, at his cheek, when they capture him. And millions of people, not only from Iraq. This is the first Arba'in. Do you remember the first Arba'in 15 years ago? It was live. It was live on all these American media outlets, front page newspapers in America, in Europe, reporting this huge, huge tsunami of human influx to the shrine of Imam Hussein. People walking. This year, 20 million people filling the cities, the roads, from every country. The bishop of the Christian, today I saw his picture, the Christian bishop of Georgia. Georgia, he's a Christian. He came to the shrine of Imam Hussein. He bows down, he prostrates in the shrine of Imam Hussein. Bishop of Georgia. Georgia has nothing to do with Iraq. But he believes in this man. He believes that Imam Hussein is a leader, not only for the Shias or the Muslims. He's a universal leader. So I can see the fate of Al Saud soon, inshallah. Those who destroyed Yemen, those who destroyed Syria, those who destroyed other countries, Allah inna akhdahu alimun shadid. His seizing is painful and severe, inshallah. Let me conclude with this one. Inna fi dhalika la ayah. When we punish, there is ayah. Not out of revenge. God says, I am not the God of revenge. I don't want to destroy. But those barbaric people who wreak havoc in the land, who murder and kill, they have to be a lesson, an example for all. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ. Quran is a book of lessons and teaching, not a book of hate or revenge or intiqam. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ. Truly, in that is a sign, a ayah, for whom? لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ. Those who think about the akhirah. But Muhammad ibn Salman does not believe in the Akhirah. He does not believe in God. He doesn't believe in God. You know, today and yesterday, the American government and the British government, both are calling for a ceasefire in Yemen. Both. They just woke up after millions of people got killed. Today they woke up. Yesterday, Mattis, the defense minister here, Pompeo in England, they said this war has to stop. So they called for ceasefire. And today, the Saudi military jets, they bombed Yemen. Just today, hours ago. Can you imagine? Is this the work of someone who believes in God, believes in the day of judgment, that he's going to stand before God one day? They don't believe in that. Allah says our signs are only for those who believe. لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ. They know there is akhirah, there is day of judgment, day of accountability. لِمَنْ خَافَ عَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَجْمُوعٌ. That day is a day where people are going to gather. Everybody is going to gather. ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَجْمُوعٌ لَهُ النَّاسِ وَذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَشْهُودٌ. That day shall be witnessed by all of us. No escape from that day. Sometimes you are summoned to the court here. You can send your attorney. Your attorney says, relax at home, I'm going to go. Especially for the traffic citations. It happened with me. The attorney went and alhamdulillah, I was enjoying my time. But in the akhirah, Allah says, everybody has to be. You can't send your attorney. You cannot send a representative. Everyone should be there, including the anbiya, the good and the bad, from the first day till the last day. Nobody can escape. Nobody can bring an excuse. Oh God, I'm sick today. Just leave me alone. I stay at home. ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَجْمُوعٌ لَهُ النَّاسِ. Everybody is going to gather. لَهُ النَّاسِ. All the people. وَذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَشْهُودٌ. It will be witnessed by all of us. وَمَا نُؤَخِّرُهُ إِلَّا لِأَجَلٍ مَعْدُودٍ. And we delay it not save for a limited time. People say, when is the akhirah? Allah says, believe me, it's so soon. So imminent. إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. People think that is it's ba'id, too far. Oh, maybe akhir is 10 million years from now. No, Allah says no. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. I kept it secret. And the Prophet says, if there is one day remaining from our life, from this world, Allah will prolong it until Imam al-Zaman alayhi salam arrives. So people should not say, but Imam Zaman is not here, so it means, wow, he should come, and then after, no. It could be within hours. ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ وَمَا نُؤَخِّرُهُ إِلَّا لِأَجَلٍ مَعْدُودٍ. مَعْدُود means limited time. We delay it. The Akhirah is upon us. God says it's upon us. We are delaying it. Delaying it a little bit, so people can take lessons. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. Tomorrow Friday Salatul Jumu'ah is going to be the last day at 1 p.m. So the Friday after that, tomorrow is going to be 1 p.m. but the Friday after that, which is November 9th, it is going to be at 12 inshallah, 12 noon. And then beginning inshallah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7 p.m. We begin with Salat al-Jama'ah. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Salat al-Jama'ah at 7. And inshallah, the majalis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Hasan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam, and al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rida alayhi salatu wa salam. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Sayyid Mahdi al-Qazwini is going to be with you inshallah. Seven. People cannot come before 7 here. So people come back from work, they are, you know. I know that Salat is going to be at 5:15, but we will do the Salat at 7, and inshallah the majlis begins after the Salat. وَيَوْمُ الْأَحَدْ فِي السَّاعَ الْخَامِسَةَ وَعَشْرَ دَقَائِقَ بَعْدَ الظُّهْرِ عِنْدَنَا الْجَلْسَةَ الْعَرَبِيَّةَ inshallah, بِمُنَاسَبَةِ وَفَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And we are starting our fourth year in the seminary of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Hawza, Hawzat Ahlul Bayt. I'm going to teach on Mondays, Tuesdays. Said Mehdi teaches on Wednesdays. We're going to begin from November 12th. So if you'd like to study and learn and spend some time doing your homework, revising, reading the books, becoming the next one to stand on this stage to be the Imam inshallah, join the Hawza. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.